For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Yes, hello, welcome to the Monday Waffle, episode 9. My name is Jake Battrick. With me is Jesse Watkins and Josephine McDonald. Guys, how are we going?
Fantastic.
Yeah, pretty good, Bado.
Beautiful. Ah, geez, a ripping round of football. Well, in terms of results, it was
very interesting.
Weather-wise, I think it was our first wintry game of the year.
Yeah, and I think this round really proved who can deliver in the slippery conditions and who can't.
Absolutely.
The classic wet weather footy.
Yeah, love it. Absolutely love it. There's a couple of games where the grounds are situated, so there was a howling northerly breeze heading down one end of the ground. So a lot of teams definitely benefited from that. Some interesting results. We didn't expect Claremont to comprehensively beat the Royals.
No, we didn't.
Well, I did. I tipped Claremont.
Yeah, so did I. So I'll take that. Peel, another bogey team this year for many of us.
Mate,
surprise.
Geez, the first two games of the round, I just am not happy at all.
Surprise winners over the Bulldogs. The Falcons, again, just getting it done.
Thank goodness, right?
I mean, they're sitting second now. I mean, there's three, second, third, and fourth are all on 20 points, but the Falcons have superior percentage. So go the Falcons. And Subi just doing as they please.
I think we all expected that.
Yeah, it looks like they've kicked into gear, especially since that loss to East Perth earlier in the season. They just switched on and they're getting it done just about every week.
It was the kick up the bum they needed, I think. They're two games clear on top of the ladder. But we're going to kick straight into our first game, Claremont versus East Perth. It was Claremont lost its first five games of the 2015 season, but they've now won the last three in a row. They won by 39 points over East Perth at the Showgrounds. The Royals' score of 2 goals, 9-21 is their lowest ever score
in the history of
East Perth Football Club. Their lowest ever score. Absolutely outstanding results. So, Tigers fans up and about.
Yeah, they would be.
Something to cheer about.
Absolutely
finally.
Would be, yeah.
They're slowly creeping up the ladder. We'll just take a look where they're sitting. They're still second bottom. Having said that, their percentage is a little bit better. Well, their percentage is better than South Freo at the moment. So, I mean, if Claremont can win again next, well, we have a bye this weekend, but we'll get to that later. If Claremont can string a couple of wins together, they'll be in the top five soon.
Finally starting to deliver because they had a very slow start to the season.
Exactly right.
Which is an understatement, I think. But unfortunately, I can't talk too much at the moment because the Royals. Yeah, let's just
tragic
not even bother.
Loss.
Let's now, just move right along.
We'll move right along. We'll have a look at who played well for the Tigers. Josephine, you're looking after Claremont. Who were the standouts?
I'm looking after East Perth, mate.
Are you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right.
You can give me whatever stats you want, Josephine.
All right. Well,
hit me with some stats.
Alec Waterman and Tom Shanahan were East Perth's two goal scorers. When East Perth did manage to get their hands on the ball, it was Kane Lucas, Stephen Payne and Brendan Lee who dominated for the Royals. Mitch Howlett and Tom Barris had 19 and Nathan Blee 18. Ruckman Paul Johnson was his team's best on a very tough afternoon. He finished with 19 possessions and 39 hitouts up against both Mark Seabee and Darcy Cameron. And I think that's all that can be said for the Royals at this point.
I mean, it was difficult conditions, especially for big men, and to see Paul Johnson do really well was a positive sign for the Royals. I think the key to Claremont's success over the last few weeks has been Mark Seabee. He's been an absolute monster. I mean, he is a monster of a bloke. I think he's 200 plus centimetres, probably over 100 kilos. A lot of teams struggle to match up against him, so I think that extra big man really has helped Claremont settle down their structure. Jesse, are you going to hit me with some stats from Claremont?
Unfortunately, I am, mate. Corey Yeo played very well, 28 disposals, 17 kicks and 11 handballs. So he's had a pretty good game. And Kiefer Yu did very well, 29 disposals, 22 kicks, 7 handballs. So those two guys dominating around the ground for Claremont, easy to say. And unfortunately for East Perth, the goal kicker list for the Tigers is a lot longer than the Royals one. But Holt with two and McAdam with two, and then Kepler Bradley got on the scoreboard with one. But it goes on. So the Tigers really just all over them. There's not a lot to say other than that. They just I mean, it was a wet weather game,
yeah.
And the scoreboard shows that, but in the context of the game, absolute thrashing.
Yeah, Shane McAdam's an interesting one. I've really liked his form over the last few weeks. He scored two, but could have easily had three. He dished it off to, I can't remember who it was, might have been Tom Ledger. It was midway through the second quarter when Tigers were kicking with the wind, and he just bombed it from 60, and it cleared through the goals halfway up the post. I reckon it would have travelled 70 metres. It was one of the longest kicks I've ever seen. We'll have a look at the fixtures for both teams. Not this weekend. We have the state game this weekend, so the Waffle has a week off. So the 30th of May, so 2 weekends' time. Claremont back at the showgrounds. They're hosting Peel Thunder. That's turning out to be a very good game.
Yeah.
On paper, absolutely. Yeah. I reckon the Tigers will get up.
Yeah, see, the tip for that one is very tough. Because Peel have beaten some really good teams this year.
I have.
But I know whichever way I tip, it won't work. Because they're my two worst teams. So just tip opposite to me and you'll do wonders.
Josie, who do you reckon is going to get the chockies?
I have to agree. I think that Claremont is going to do it.
I mean, the showgrounds is such a weird ground to go and play at because it's where the Royal Show is, so
yeah.
You've got Sideshow Alley on one end, and then like all the show bag stalls. Like, it's weird. I think Claremont's change rooms is in the police stall. And then you've got the trains going past, and it's very bizarre. And I think Claremont have really settled down. Another Perth derby. East Perth and West Perth are playing again, even though they played last weekend. This time at Medibank Stadium. If the weather's good, I think East Perth might get up. Having said that, I'm going to tip the Falcons because I love my Falcons.
I love your Falcons.
Yeah.
Jess, you're obviously going to go East Perth.
Mate, against my better judgment, we'll go with East Perth. I mean, West Perth is going to win, but go the Royals.
Oh, touch wood.
Go the Mighty Royals. I haven't been tipping Falcons very often this season.
It's a long season, Josephine, and there's always time to get on the Falcons bandwagon.
I know, and I think I might just be jumping on now. I'm going to tip the Falcons.
Good girl. That's what we like to hear. Yeah, that'll be an absolute ripping game. I'm not sure why they're playing each other again so soon. But yeah, a couple of good games to look forward to in a couple of weeks' time.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
On the line now, we have Channel 7's Mark Reddings. Mark, did you manage to keep dry down at Medibank on Saturday?
Well, pretty much we did, but the rain didn't come as strong and as hard as what we expected in the first half. We got a bit in the second half, but certainly not as heavy as it was yesterday. So luckily on that front. But certainly, from Subiaco's point of view, it was raining gold at one stage here as they took advantage of a pretty healthy breeze kicking to the legal end of the ground. So a really impressive performance by Subi to showing that they are a class above most teams. And on this occasion, Swan District's just simply not up to the level that Subiaco could produce.
Yeah, the Lions have set themselves up nicely approaching the midpoint of the season.
Absolutely, yeah, they're the team to beat. I mean, they're on top of the table and they're just playing some good footy. We only saw them once prior to on the weekend. That was on Good Friday against East Perth, where they were very disappointing. But I think when they are up and they're playing their best footy, they're probably still the team to beat this year. So very impressive there. Chris DeLuca kicking a few goals. He was really important for them. They had some really good midfielders. Lee Kitchen was probably the best on ground. He had in excess of 30 touches. Tailor-made conditions for him, of course, coming from Frankston in Victoria. He revelled in the slippery conditions at Medibank.
Yeah, and Subi did well to score 11 goals in those conditions, especially given Shane Yaron and Clancy Wheeler were kept to just one goal apiece.
Absolutely, yeah. Shane Yaron wasn't exactly tailor-made for him, those conditions. Clancy Wheeler was a bit more busy up the field, but yeah, right, when two of your key forwards aren't contributing heavily on the scoreboard and you're still managing to win by 7 goals, it's a pretty good result. So lots of upside for Subiaco. Swan Districts were pretty game. I just think they probably lacked that bit of cohesion going forward in the first quarter when they had the breeze. And from then on, they got to within 15 points in the third quarter. But after that, really, once Subiaco had the breeze in the fourth term, it was always going to be extremely tough for them to get close to the Lions.
Yeah, now the Swans have lost two in a row. They can't really afford to lose too many more games from now on. What do the Swans need to do to sort of turn things around this season?
Well, the good news is for them is that it is the top five this season, which, unlike the top four, of course, gives you that extra opportunity to sneak into September. So, look, I think they've just got to have their best players going consistently. It's got their back line is terrific. Tony Knott, Talon Ames, always very good. They're both in the state side. So they do have the talent there. Some of the young players coming through were impressive as well. But their form just seems to ebb and flow during the course of a game. And when you're playing a team like Subiaco, you can look forward to that. So there's no doubt that when they're playing their best football, they'll be very competitive against any side. But unfortunately for Greg Harding, there's just been too many peaks and troughs. So back-to-back losses, as you say, against Claremont, in Mount Barker and now Subiaco, just puts them a bit behind the eight ball.
And, Mark, there's no waffle this weekend. We've got the state game. So do you reckon the West Aussie boys are going to get over the line?
Well, it's deadlocked after 111 years, I think, at 46 wins apiece between WA and South Australia. So there's no doubt that the team from WA with Darren Harris is going to be overseeing the squad this week and trying to make sure that they have got a very competitive lineup. Last time we beat them was 2009 by a point, by the way. So it's been really tight in these games in recent matches between WA and South Australia. But yeah, let's tip WA to get over the line at Lachlan Park, 2:15 on Saturday. Hopefully the weather stays kind to the WAFL.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mark. I haven't decided if we're going to do a podcast next week, so we'll probably catch up with you in a couple of weeks. Thanks very much, Mark.
Pleasure, guys. Have a great week.
See ya.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
South Freo bounced back from three straight losses with a win over East Perth prior to last week's bye, and Peel was coming off two consecutive defeats. But it was the Thunder who recorded a strong 44-point win at Freo Oval on Saturday, with the Bulldogs scored their lowest ever against Peel. The Thunder prevailed 12 goals 13-85 to the Bulldogs 5-11-41. A goalless second quarter proved very costly for South Freo, with Peel going into the main break 31 points in front. South Freo kicked the first two goals of the third term, but didn't really matter much as Thunder kicked on to record their 44-point win in what was terrible conditions throughout the weekend. Guys, bloody Peel.
Yeah,
we should call them Peel bogey team Thunder.
Yeah.
Something better than that, because that wasn't very creative.
It's not particularly creative, but it's off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Just a really disappointing display from the Bulldogs, though.
Yeah.
If they were going to lose, I wouldn't think it would be by that much.
No.
Yeah, and to Peel.
And to Peel.
I mean, Peel just do whatever they like. Some weeks they rock up, some they don't.
Exactly right. Mm. And it's not even, I mean, they've got Tendai Mazungu playing for them, but other than that...
Yeah, I found this game was probably his best of the season for Peel.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like, that's a pretty big call, but like, I was just waiting for him to have, like, an AFL-level...
Yeah.
Players kind of game, and finally he came up with something good.
Yeah.
Mm. Who else played well for Peel, Jesse?
Young Tommy Vandeleur kicked three, so that was impressive. And 29 possessions and two goals for Tendai Mazungu as well, so very, very good job there, which you expect nothing less from an AFL-listed player. But yeah, the only other one worth mentioning was Hayden Crozier, who I had a look through his stats a little bit before, and he scored a lot of Dream Team points, and I thought, I wonder how he's got there. Bado, you swiftly pointed out that he's had 12 tackles, so yeah, he's been up and about the entire game.
Tackling machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Tanner Smith and Ethan Hughes were very strong down back, and I think without those two guys, the Bulldogs should have kicked a few more goals. The Dogs were very inaccurate, 5 goals 11, but I think Smith and Hughes were very good down back in particular. Another one I thought was good, Connor Blakely. He had 28 touches and a goal, so that's very handy. He's another youngster. I mean, the Peel have got a lot of young blokes coming through, obviously all in line for Dockers spots, so it's getting pretty competitive down there in Mandurah. Having a closer look at the Bulldogs, Josephine.
Yeah, I mean, standout for me was Corey DeLolio. In saying that, it wasn't his best game of the season, but he was the Bulldogs' only multiple goal scorer with two goals for that match.
And he's also the best last name on ground.
Yeah, I love saying it.
Just about DeLolio. Every week he goes out, I think.
Kyle Hams was also terrific for South Freo. He finished with 28 possessions and 9 tackles. Jared Parry, 18 possessions to go with his 10 tackles. And in terms of their defence, Adam Goodwin Guglielmana did well. He held
another pearl of the hair.
I'll pay it.
He held Leroy Jetta to just four kicks and one goal. Good start to the season, but really going downhill from here now.
Yeah, then they lost three in a row. They lost three in a row and then had a win over East Perth. So they've only won once in their last four games. So that's seen them slip down to fifth spot. So they're a game behind West Perth, Peel and East Frio on the ladder now. So, and 88% is their percentage. So, South Frio will really be kicking themselves because they need some wins, but they also need to be kicking more goals because their percentage is woeful. It's the second lowest.
Yeah, and such a tight competition at this point in time. So percentage is all important.
I mean, Swan Districts, we talked about earlier, they're only 3-5, but their percentage is 109. So if Swan's...
Yeah, when they win, they win big, hey?
Exactly. Right, so yeah, really disappointing for South Frio. They need to pull their finger out shortly, otherwise they're going to be stuck in the bottom half of the ladder. We'll take a look forward to the next fixtures for these guys. Another Frio derby. I think we've just done the initial cycle. The Waffle's not a huge competition, so we're starting to see the same fixtures again.
We got two derby rounds in this one. So
this time South Frio will be travelling to East Frio. This is a crucial game. Both sides very crucial. I don't know really who's going to get the win because both teams have been so up and down.
They have both very inconsistent. I think I'm going to go with the Sharks, though.
Sharks, yeah.
I think they're looking better.
Yeah.
It's a bloody hard one to pick. You don't know whether South Fremantle will go, whoa, we need to pull finger here, but let's go with the Sharks, I think.
Sharkies. I'm going to go with the Sharks as well because it's at East Frio. When the Sharks play well, they play well.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of fact which team's going to show up.
Yeah, South Fremantle are a little bit more consistent, so you'd expect, because they started the season quite well, they hit a bit of a dip. Maybe that dip will continue.
I think so.
Yeah.
We've already covered Peel earlier in the podcast, so...
Yeah, let's not go back there, because I don't enjoy anything to do with them.
I've just noticed the Frio Derby and the Perth Derby are... Those two games are on the Monday, so if you're looking to head down to those games, don't rock up on the Saturday because they're both on. I think it's
WA Day Monday.
Yeah, the public holiday. Yeah. So good to have footy on the public holiday, and stay tuned for the results of both those games.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Second spot was on the line when West Perth hosted East Fremantle at HBF Arena on Saturday. And in a tight contest, it was the Falcons who prevailed 16-9-105 to 10-13-73. The Sharks had the first five shots on goal, but couldn't manage a majority in blustery conditions. The Falcons kicked the first goal of the game and managed to lead by 23 points just before half-time, before the Sharks hit back to trail by 17 at the main break. Three quick goals to start the third quarter saw the Falcons lead by 35 points, but the Sharks did close to within 14 to start the final term. West Perth steadied with four of the last five goals to win by 32 points and move into second spot on the ladder. Aidan Lynch and Matt Fowler kicked three goals apiece for West Perth, with Aaron Black and Michael Lowry both adding two. Black also racked up 26 disposals to go with those two goals, with Shane Nelson finishing with 25 touches, Rowan Kerr 21, and ruckman Chris Coonan 16 to go with 43 hitouts. Julian Lacantro, George Hampson and Cameron Eardley kicked two goals apiece for East Fremantle, with Liam Anthony gathering 31 possessions, Rory O'Brien 28, Mark McGough 26, Lacantro 22 and ruckman Rob Young 16 to go with 6 marks and 42 hitouts. After this weekend's general bye, both teams have WA Day derbies, with the Falcons travelling to Medibank Stadium to face the Royals, while East Frio hosts South Frio at Atom Stadium. This has been Chris Meldrum for the Monday Waffle.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
All right, boys and girls, it's that time of week again. Time to get our tips out. I said tips out. We've basically covered three out of four games. I've gone Falcons, Sharks and Tigers. Josie, you've done the same, and Jesse, the only difference is you've...
Sticking with the mighty Royals.
Yes.
My goodness.
Not Peel?
We won't go there.
Go there.
He's had a gutful. So the only game left to do is Swan District hosting Perth at Steel Blue Oval down there in Guildford. I think it's Guildford.
Bassendean,
Guildford, same.
General.
No, it's not. You'll make a lot of people angry if I say that.
Really? Anyway.
But it's okay, because they live in Guildford.
It's a bloody long way. It's a bloody long way away, regardless. Guys, I think there's only one winner here.
Home ground. It has to be Swans.
Has to be Swans. Go the mighty black and whites.
Yeah.
We're all in.
There's really no contest there, is there?
Yeah, nah. No. So, fantastic. We can tick that off the list. Now, this is really exciting because our tipping competition, I don't know if anyone else is following it as closely as we are.
Probably not.
Particularly you at the moment, Batto, as you make your surge.
Because, guys, you better watch out because I'm bloody coming for you.
Yeah. Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come
for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? So I don't know if you guys remember, a few weeks ago I was stone dead last on the ladder.
Jeez, I thought you were going about one of your nights there, Batto.
I was absolutely blazed. No, I wasn't.
No wonder you can't tip.
Stay in school. Stay in school, don't do drugs.
No.
Yeah, I was dead last on the ladder and I've just pulled an absolute perler out of my...
Proverbial.
2 weeks in a row, I've got 3 out of 4. So that's seen me shoot up to equal third with you, Jay Watt.
Mm.
So we are both on 17 in third place. Josh just doing as he please still. He's on 21 points. 3 clear of Claire, who's just flying straight under the radar. Gone up into second spot on 18. Then a bit of a log jam towards the bottom end. Josie, Mark and Jared all on 16. And then Nicole, who's left us, as we know, to the ABC, is dead last in 14.
Languishing.
On 14. So
she's not even within touching distance.
No. So it's very exciting. I mean, we've got a week off this weekend because of the state game, but I think the next round of football will really, really shape this ladder. It'll be interesting to see who everyone else tips. I think we've covered it all, guys. I reckon that'll do us.
I think so.
Thanks for joining me in the studio this week, Jesse and Josephine. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No walkers.
Pleasure indeed.
And we will catch you in a couple of weeks. I've just decided now we're going to take a week off next week for the state game.
Thanks, Jake.
Cheers, boss.
So enjoy your holidays, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks on the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.